Prepare our hearts and minds, God, to receive your word and the exhortation, Lord God, you would have us to hear today. God, help us to be faithful with it. Pray, God, for each song, Lord, that it will be sung from the heart. Lord, there will be the proper spirit and attitude here. All the divisions and distractions of the devil, Lord, be put down. Lord, help us to put off the old man, that old flesh, and yield ourselves to the authority of the word of God. And pay fervent attention, Lord God, to your authority and the word. And Lord, help us, God, to do what we're commanded to do in the scriptures. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the souls that have been witnessed to this week and the word of God that's went out, for the tracts that's been passed and the preaching that's been done. Pray, God, that you'll just bear witness with what's happened, Lord, and God, use it, Lord, to instruct some folks to get closer to you, and those that aren't saved, Lord, may they be brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our nation as a church. We ask you to have mercy upon us. God, we pray for this upcoming election. Pray, God, that your will be done. And then, Lord God, we want to remember the missionaries. Pray, Lord, for more laborers to be sent into the harvest. Pray for those that are seeking to raise their support, Lord, to get to the field you've called them to. For those that have been faithful to have gone, and they're there now with their families. Lord, we hold up these brethren and ask you to use them, Lord, for your glory and honor. Keep them safe, Lord God, in your will. Help them, Lord, to be fruitful, God. Help them, Lord God, to be effective. Help them to build churches and see lives built up in the word of God. Father, we do pray specifically for Alan Hearn and his family. We pray, Lord God, for Andy Hearn and his family. Watch over their children, Lord. Bless their marriages. And Lord, open doors of service for them, Lord God, that they may know the peace of having been used of thee. God, help them not to be discouraged, Lord, in those tough places of the world where they're sowing and planting. Help them, God, to know success in your will and have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father, again, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit, for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead his blood this morning, Lord, and ask you to meet with us, Lord, and have your way in this assembly. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And also get 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. Father, we do again, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to teach. God, I thank you, Father, for allowing me to stand up here and represent the truth, represent the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I definitely do not want to get in the way. I don't want to get messed up, God, and get off on the wrong foot and go a direction, God, that you're not in. Lord, I pray, God, this morning, Father, that you would lead me, God, and help me, Lord, to be to the right path that you want on, God, say the words, God, that people need to hear. Lord, what we want are people to learn the truth, and God, also, Lord, to help them in the week that's coming up, God, practically to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, we want them to be able to continue in the faith, God. We want them to be able to stand. Lord, we want them to be able to apply the things that they learn. God, we don't want this, Lord, just to be information, God, that's just stored in their mind. But God, actually, Lord, something that they can use as a sword, God, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Father, I pray, God, Lord, I realize, Lord, that begins with me. And if I'm in a mess, God, or if I'm off, or if I'm wrong, Lord, then I'm going to mess the message up to start with. And I pray, God, this morning, Lord, that if there's anything unclean, God, any sins, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would help me to stay close to you. God, give me desires. Give me a heart, Lord, toward serving you. I pray, God, for this church, Lord, that our heart and mind would be toward Jesus Christ and would be to wanting to get close to Jesus Christ and not just to go through the motions, not just to do what we know, what we're supposed to say or the things that we're supposed to act and do it, God, just on Sunday and Wednesday, God, but let it be a part of our life and our desires, God. Help us not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, God. Lord, we need to be consumed with you. We need to be consumed with serving you and doing what you've called us to do. Lord, we ask you, Father, to please be with us this morning during Sunday school, God. Help us, God, as an individual, God, to check our own selves and check us, Lord, to see where we're at and to see, God, if we're serving you with the right motives, with the right heart. God, it's so easy, God, in the flesh to have opinions, to have just ideas, God, that we think are right. But, Lord, once we get in the book, we realize, God, that our opinions and our ideals are just, they're flesh, they're wrong. The devil can pull us around and have us thinking what he wants us to think and saying what he wants us to say as long as we're in the flesh. Help us this morning, God, to have a desire to walk in the Spirit. Help us, God, to have a desire to, where we're wrong, to humble ourselves, God, and be willing to get right. Lord, and where we're right, God, just be thankful, God, that you've shown that to us, God, and blessed us with the ability to be able to at least have victory in those areas. Help us, God, not to be puffed up. Help us, Lord, not to make this thing all about us, God, and think that everything revolves around us, Lord. Things revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are put on this earth to bring glory to you in whatever way that that's going to be done. And help us, God, to realize that our job is to bring glory to Jesus Christ in whatever facet that may be. Help us this morning, God, to keep that in remembrance. Help us, Lord, to not just remember it, God, but have that desire, Lord, to want to be consumed with you and to want to be consumed with getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out and being a clean vessel, God, and being right and having the right actions, the right motives, the right reactions, Lord. Help us, God, to have all those things in check. And, Lord, help us to see where the devil's lining up on us and trying to get us off course. We thank you, God, for a Bible. We thank you, God, for a good pastor, God, that gives us the Word. We're thankful, God, for Sunday school teachers, God, who's gotten up and prepared this morning, for the missionaries, Lord, who's given their lives, that you've given them, God, that they could just waste and do whatever they wanted to with, God. But they've decided, Lord, to go where you've wanted them to go. I pray, God, that you'd bless them today. Keep them safe, God. The ones that's on the road traveling, the ones that's looking for money to get to the field, God. The ones that are on the field, Lord. The ones that are discouraged, God. The ones that are excited, God. I just pray, God, your blessing be upon all of them. I pray for all the many missionaries, God, that we have here that at the church, Lord, that we support. I pray again, Father, for the congregation, Lord. I pray, God, if there's somebody out there, God, that Lord, today that decided they wasn't going to church, Lord, I pray, God, that you would convict them, Lord, to get them to church, God, and I pray, God, that they'd get something for it, Lord, of the ones that showed up, God, I pray you'd bless them. Help us all now, God, as we open your word. I pray, God, that your Spirit would be here, Lord. I thank you, God, for your Spirit that's going to lead us and guide us into all truth this morning, God. We're thankful for all your blessings and for all the times, God, that you put up with us, and God, that you do direct us and guide us. And Lord, this morning, God, we're studying, Lord, because we want to know what you want us to do. We want to know what you think and what your ideas are. Help us, God, to line up with what you like. Help us to love the things that you love and to hate the things that you hate, God. Help us, Lord, to be more Christ-like, God, as we continue throughout our life, God. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have been studying about Christianity and about what God expects out of us. And we've started there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And when he started, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We learn that strength comes from God, and we need that grace. And he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We found out that this lesson that he's teaching, that he wants it to not just stay with who he's teaching. He wants them to teach other people who can teach others also. And then he says in verse 3, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." And he's talking about warring here and staying in a war and battling and fighting and doing the things that he needs to do. Now over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he mentions along the same lines, in verse 18, He says, this charge, 1 Timothy 1:18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And he's telling Timothy over here in 1 Timothy 1, you got a warfare that's coming up, and you need to war a good warfare. You need to be a good soldier. And he says, this is how you do it, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. In other words, he's this faith that he's got, this idea that he's got of the Bible, what he thinks about it, what God's been telling him. I mean, he's got the Old Testament, and he's got Paul that's revealing these things to him here, and he's wanting him to hold this faith that he's been given, and a good conscience. In other words, he's wanting him to live clean. And if he's going to war a good warfare, there's two things that he's got to have. He's got to have he's got to hold on to this faith that he's been given, and he's got to have a clean heart and a clean life. And then he goes on to say, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, talks about a man committing fornication to turn him over to Satan, that they won't learn to, that they'll learn not to blaspheme. And basically, all you do is you take a person who's not going to get right, and you just begin to pray and say, Lord, you just let your will be done in this, and turn these people over to Satan as far as them, because they're not going to get right. Satan's going to do something to them, and whatever it is, God's looking at this thing like whatever Satan has for them, eventually they're going to, this may help them turn around. And you go through stages as a Christian. God begins to deal with you about a sin, and what you do is you try to get right over it. You'll come to the altar. You don't always get it fixed the first time. I mean, there's things that a person has naturally in their life that God begins to deal with. They see it in their head. They begin to try to get right over it. And what happens is you come to the altar, you pray, you get right, you think you've got that thing settled, but you get away from here, you get away from the preaching, you get away from how the Holy Spirit's dealing with you here, you walk outside the doors, you turn the radio back on, or you turn on the TV, or get consumed back with life, and you don't completely get that thing out of your life, but it comes back and you deal with it over and over and over. And you go through these stages to where God tries to get you fixed, he's long-suffering, but just like in the Old Testament, where God was taking those children of the land out before Abraham's descendants there, and he says, Abraham, you're going to go down into Egypt, and you're going to stay for 400 years. He says, and while you're down there, he says, you're going to become, you know, you're going to grow, you're going to be a nation, and one of the reasons for him being down there is so they could grow, so they could actually occupy that land. But there was also another reason, is because he said those people that are going in there, he said their cup is not yet full. And he was talking about this iniquity that they had, that this iniquity that was in their heart, they wouldn't, it wasn't completely full. And although God's got grace, he's got mercy, and he's very long-suffering, there is also a point in time where God decides, look, I've had enough, and your cup is up to here. And you've heard parents before look at a kid and say, listen, I've had it up to here, son. I've had it. And that's where God gets sometimes. He says their cup wasn't full, that iniquity. And he said, in about 400 years, I'm going to keep giving them opportunities to do better, to do better, to do better. But they're not going to do better. And during this time, I'm raising this nation up down here in Egypt under bondage. And they're going to come in there, and they're going to take over this land. And this group of people are going to be gone. And when you get over there in the Old Testament, and you begin to see the reasons why God took this people out, it was because they were killing babies. And they were having men with men, having sex. And all those things over there in Leviticus is the things that America is doing today. And that's where we're at today. We're doing the same things that those people were doing there, that God kicked them out of the land. You say, Brother Jack, you shouldn't be thinking that stuff up. I'm not. I can read it to you over in Leviticus. You get it. Leviticus chapter 20. You see what they went out for. You can read it yourself. And regardless of what we do to try to get this Word of God out of the out of America, the Word of God's still going to say what it's always said, regardless if America likes it or whether they don't, whether our leaders like it or whether they don't, or whether you like it or whether you don't. God is still against homosexuals. He's still against killing babies. He's against all that stuff. And the reason that those people got kicked out of that land is because that's what they were given to. And they had this cup, and it began to get full of iniquity. And Timothy here, Paul's telling Timothy, he says, you need to hold faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concern of faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, and he says, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So these two guys here have gotten so far out there that finally Paul's saying, look, you know, we just got to get rid of these guys. They're not getting right now. Just let Satan have them. He says they're still going to be saved. They're still going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're still going to go to heaven, but they've just messed themselves up. Now, the reason I go there is because in 2 Timothy, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, is Hymenaeus shows up again here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and then he's got another buddy over here. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we talk about Timothy was supposed to be warring a good warfare, and that's keeping the faith and staying clean. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So he's saying, don't get caught up with all the affairs of this life that's going on. Don't get entangled with them. All right, then he says in verse 5, he says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So you've got this guy here who's warring. He's warring a good warfare, and the reason he's warring a good warfare is he's striving for the masteries. And when we got over there, we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ and showed how what he's looking for at the end of the race is to be crowned, and that's what we all want. So you've got a man here who is warring a good warfare, and during this warfare, what he is called to do is he's called to strive for the masteries, and you've got to do it lawfully, okay? That's what you've got to do. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says this. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you take over here in verse 5, where he says that you've got to do it lawfully, and then you turn around in verse 15 where he says, look, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, you've got to do this thing right, Timothy. And if you're going to do it right, you're going to have to get in a book, you're going to have to get in the truth, and you're going to have to rightly divide it to make sure you're striving lawfully. Now, in contrast to that, you've got Hymenaeus and Philetus here, who has looked at this thing and he's began to strive, but he's not doing it lawfully. Now look in verse 14, you've got this contrast here. We started in verse 14 last week. He said, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. So they're striving, and he says, don't strive about words to no profit. He says, but to the subverting of the hearers. Lawfully, we talked about how God does want you to strive about some things, but when it comes to people getting not getting saved and not people getting messed up and getting their heart to where they can't even get saved, and we gave an example over there in Acts about where a guy was sitting there trying to keep somebody else from getting saved. And Paul's saying, listen, when it comes to the opportunity where you see somebody that's getting messed up and they're not going to get saved, then get in the middle of that thing. But if it's striving about words to no profit, you just need to stay out of the middle of it. We gave some examples of that. Now look in verse 16. So you've got this contrast here where Paul is giving Timothy, he says, if you're going to strive, you strive lawfully. He says, if you want to strive and get to the have the masteries at the judgment seat of Christ, there's some things that you've got to do to be able to get there. And he gives you a contrast here, things to do and things not to do to be able to make it at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 16, he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Now when he says in verse 18, who concerning the truth, that's a reference to verse 15. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In opposition to who concerning the truth have erred. So you've got a guy here that when he looks at the truth, he's erred, and he's telling Timothy, when you look at the truth, you need to rightly divide the word of truth and study to show thyself approved unto God. So that's the contrast. You've got a guy who's not going to study. You've got a guy who's all worried about himself. All he's worried about is what he thinks that the word of God teaches, or what he thinks the word of God's really trying to say, or what he thinks that God would really want a person to do. I mean, you hear people all say, well, I just don't think a loving God would, it don't matter what you think. And the point is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul's saying, listen, Timothy, look, there's two things here, son. If you want to do right, then get in the book and line yourself up with the book. And if you don't, then you do like Hymenaeus and Philetus, and you're going to err in the truth, and you're going to mess yourself up, and you can get into a different doctrine. You can pull a bunch of other people out of the way. You can have them messed up. And what ends up happening is you just make a big problem and a big mess out of your life. Are you going to go to heaven? Yeah, you're going to go to heaven, son. But big deal. Is that all you want to do is to go to heaven? And guys around here today, they'll say, well, sure, that's all I want to do. All I want to do is just make sure I go to heaven. That ain't true. There's nothing in your life that's like that. You ever played sports? Oh, I don't care as long as I play sports. I don't care if I get to play. I just want to be on the team. You liar. That's why you gripe, because you ain't got no playing time. I don't care as long as I got a job. I don't care how much money I make. You do too. Hey, those are stupid. And you think all you're going to want to do is get to heaven and you just want to make it and not worry about the judgment seat of Christ? That's not true. When you get to heaven, you're going to wish that you had done something for Jesus Christ. Now, here he's saying, guys, here's what he's talking about. He's talking about there's a way to strive, and there's a way not to strive. There's things to strive about, there's things not to strive about. There's a way to live your life, and there's a way not to live your life. And all this thing's got to be consistent if you're going to do right and make it when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ. And it's no matter what you do as a Christian, guys, or no matter what you do in this life, there is a way that it works, and there's a way that it don't work. It's give and take. It's contrasted. It's been said, you know, in America, and here's America. America has this thought in their head of a wishbone. In other words, they want to pull a wishbone apart and hope that things are going to work out right. They just wish. And then you got a group of people that actually do something, and they've got it all based on a backbone. And so the contrast is you got a wishbone or a backbone. A backbone, somebody that's going to do something the